I'm in. Well, thank you, Father. Tonight we're going to do a sharing on lessons on how to seek answers from Yahweh. Another way to think it is tuning in to the help network. And I think of that as a radio. You know, so our lives can be when we're going to get into situations where I need help. And so I've got to get quiet and turn it on. And then I've got to tune it in. I'm not hearing from Yahweh. There it is. I have to turn it on and then tune in. Otherwise, what's available for me, I'm not going to experience. We know that in order to tune in, what do we have to tune in? It's Ruach HaKodesh, and that is Spirit the Holy. Ruach is the Hebrew word for spirit. Ha is the. Kodesh is holy. Ruach HaKodesh is Spirit the Holy. We've been given that. We saw that in Joel 2:28, which we will go there. Page 871.
I'm sorry, in what?
Chapter 2, verse 28. Hard to find, but it's 871. It's a small book. So I gave you the page number. And just a reference, Joel is actually the name. But in 28, the promise of the Ruach. And most people, since you don't feel anything, and if you have it basically turned off, you forget about it. So I've got to realize there are signals coming through this room right now. Hundreds of different signals that I can't see. I have no monitoring. I don't feel them. I don't know they even exist. How do I know they exist? Because I tune in my spirit.
We're not going to arm you.
Where is that coming from? That noise. It's coming from a signal and shot into this window, from this window. That's the same as Ruach. You know, if it's not turned on, I can't tune in. So here it is, 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my Ruach upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Is that power? Prophecy, yes. And can you do any of this stuff without Yahweh's help with the Ruach? No, it's an app. Let's just say it's an app or it's a radio. A physical component that's been put inside us that does certain functions. Old men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions. Moreover, also upon thy servants and upon thy handmaid in those days where I pour out my Ruach, and I will set forth wonders in the heavens. And we don't go into that because that's going into the day of Yahweh. We know in Luke 24:49, we're going to be clothed. We don't have to go there. We're going, Christ says, stay in Jerusalem because you're going to be clothed with power from on high. Power from on high. And we know that happened on the day of Pentecost. And that's Acts 2:38. If you get baptized or immersed in the name of Yahushua Mashiach, you shall receive the free gift of Holy Ruach. And so in most churches today, I would say probably 80% to 90%, there is no tuning into that. Very few pastors, I mean, basically nobody prophesies or speaks in tongues and interpret. They speak in tongues, but they will not interpret. And they're doing exactly what they're not supposed to do. Because 1 Corinthians 14 says, in the church, you speak in tongues and interpret. Otherwise, it doesn't help anybody. But then, you know, you'll have the Pentecostals speaking in tongues, but they don't interpret. So you're actually breaking 1 Corinthians 14. Instead of helping, you're pointing to yourself, but does that help anybody else? No, it doesn't help anybody else. He says, they can't understand the message because it's in another language. So we all know that we're the body of the Christ. And so if he's our head, he's alive and well. We can go there, Romans 12. we have to kind of refocus in on who we are and what abilities do we have. 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, through the Raham of Yahweh. So compassion is what we see usually in the Old Covenant to re-examine words that mean things. Actually, the word passion means suffer, and compassion means suffer with. And so this has no bearing. And when people today, our usage and how they usually place this, it has some kind of affection, but no, compassion has nothing to do with affection. It means you're suffering with. So if my child is dying, I am going to be suffering, my child's suffering, and I'm going to be suffering with that child. That's what the word compassion means. And so it's really the word, what they're trying to communicate, which was in the Old Covenant, was the word raham. And raham is, we got a whole study on that, but it's also translated womb. And so there's something that a father has or a mother has a raham for her child, her womb. It puts in a completely different category. So let's look at the word raham here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, through the rahams of Yahweh, to present your, here's what Yahweh wants. To present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto Yahweh, acceptable. So think of that. It's not part of the teaching. But in our age of grace, I can sin and they're already forgiven. It makes no difference. I'm not under the law, according to what people will say, so I can do whatever I want to. Well, that completely contradicts this. I want you to present your bodies a living, holy, that's set apart from the world, sacrifice unto Yahweh, acceptable. All right? Your rational, divine service. Okay, we're supposed to live a separate life. If people don't distinguish you from the average unbeliever, you've missed it. You know, you're supposed to be holy. Holy means separate. I don't live the way these guys do. And so they should, if I work with somebody, they should know I don't do that. I don't cuss. I don't say this. I don't watch porno. You know, I don't gamble in these particular cases. And that's a separate life. And be not configuring yourself unto this age. Well, yeah, and so if you're going to live by grace and I'm going to look just like the sinner, well, you are configuring yourself unto this age. Yeah? Well, don't tell me what to do. He always exactly telling us what to do. That's what this book's about. And we're going to be talking about revelation, receiving information. If I will not obey these words of Yahweh, why would I think by Him giving me additional information I would obey it? I'm not faithful in doing this. So why would He tell me, don't go left? I go left because I don't pay attention to Him anyway. He tells me, don't fornicate, I fornicate. He tells me, don't steal, I steal. You know, what good would that mean? If I don't, I've got to obey this first, and then when the information comes, I'll be faithful to obey that also, which will bring deliverance, which we're going to see. I'm tuning in. Be not transforming yourself, be transforming yourselves and metamorphosis by the renewing of your mind, that to the end you may be proving what is the thing willed by Yahweh, the good and acceptable and perfect. For I say, through the favor which has been given me unto everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as soberly as unto each one Yahweh hath dealt a measure of faith. For just as in the one body we have many members, yet all the members have not the same office. So, we the many are one body in Christ, and that's anointed, or Mashiach, several members one of another. So we all are anointed, we all have Ruach, we all have power, because we're going to look at some people's lives, Daniel, Esther, and people like this, to be able to show what happened and what we're supposed to expect. So let's go to Daniel. His name means El is my judge. So Daniel, the El is another name for what we translate God. It's a mighty one. So we have Elohim, El, Eloah.
And El is what?
Strong, strength. So it's always El is strength.
El.
Yeah, and Daniel. Strength. You know, Daniel is El is my judge, strength. Elohim is the creator. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. That is, in the first place, is that creation aspect. But every other Bible, you're not going to know this difference. They're going to translate all three Hebrew words God. So you have no reference, except for the Rotherham. So Daniel 2, you get there. So I was listening to this on Word of Promise, which I recommend highly. And we get to hear that word over and over and over. And Yahweh recorded these things for our learning, to learn from this. And so something like this could be happening to me, and I've got to reflect back to, oh yeah, it happened to Daniel. And so I'm going to do what he did. So if you go to chapter 2, verse 12. Let's see here. For this cause, the king was provoked. You know, we know Nebuchadnezzar. I relay the story. He told the seers, tell me my dream and the interpretation. And they said, we can tell you the interpretation, but we can't tell you the dream. Well, I'm going to tell me the dream. Because if you can't tell me the dream, then you don't have that contact with the God you said you say you have. And that's the context. For this cause, the king was provoked and exceedingly indignant, and gave word to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. That's where we are. Does Daniel know about this? Not yet. Did Yahweh notify him? No. And so it's going to come as a blast. Many times in our life too, an incident's going to come. I had no inkling it's coming, but when it comes. The decree went forth, and the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his companions. They might, what? Be slain. Well, now you're going to be killed. Immediately, Daniel made answer with proofs and discretions to Arioch, chief of the executioners of the king, who had come forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He began to speak and said to, how would you say that?
Arioch,
the king's captain, for what cause is the decrees raging forth from before the king? Then Arioch made the matter known unto Daniel. So Daniel entered in and desired of the king that at an appointed time he would give him, and then the interpretation he would declare unto the king. Did Yahweh tell him to do this? No. You know, now he's walking right into a faith situation. I have a God. God has me here for a person. I'm going to be killed because the king says, you guys can't give the, you can't tell me what the dream is, and I'm going to walk out in faith and say, I'm going to tell you what the dream is. Did Yahweh tell him that? No. This is a plan. This is what I'm walking right into, but he's my God. He loves me. He will do this. And so it's preemptive. Then Daniel to his own house departed, and to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, made the matter known, that tender rahams they might seek from before the Elohim of the heavens concerning the secret, that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the wise men, with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So obviously you get your friends together. So I got three friends. Okay, we're going to supplicate for this. We have a deadline. You know, I got to tell the dream. Yahweh, you got to tell me the dream. Then unto Daniel in a vision of the night. There he goes. So we got to, you know, he's tuning in. So let's just say this. He is tuning in to Yahweh on the problem. The secret was revealed, whereupon Daniel blessed the Elohim of the heavens. And this is a great response right here. Daniel responded and said, let the name of Elohim be blessed from age to age, and that wisdom and might to him belong. And he changes times and seasons, removeth kings and setteth up kings, giving wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them who are skilled in understanding. So we're asking for knowledge and wisdom, and he's given it to me. He reveals the deep things and the hidden, knoweth what is in the darkness, and light with him does dwell. So all these things, how to help people, he can inform us what this person needs, the heart of this person needs. And many times it could be, okay, I want you to go, I'm just sitting at night, and all of a sudden you get information to go talk to this person, and they're not going to like it. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Note that it is in the darkness and light with him doth dwell. Unto thee, O Elohim, my fathers, do I render thanks and praise, and that wisdom and might thou hast given unto me. Yea, already hath thou made known to me that which we desire of thee. For the matter of the king hast thou made known unto us. Therefore Daniel entered into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in, and thus he said unto him, the wise men of Babylon do not thou destroy. Bring me in before the king, and the interpretation unto the king will I declare.
He didn't say the dream, though. Right?
Yeah, but obviously he's going to tell the dream. But he just says the interpretation, I've got it. Now that is a confidence. Because if you're wrong, did I get that right? If I'm wrong, that was in the dream, off of his head. But here is a great situation where all four of them cooperated and brought deliverance. And we're going to see the same thing with Esther and Mordecai. And Esther actually means myrtle.
It means what?
Myrtle. A plant. I'm not sure that, one person said myrtle is symbolic of the nation of Israel's people. Well, I know the fig tree is and the olive trees are. But actually, myrtle, I mean...
You mean Hadassah?
Yeah, Hadassah. Yeah, not Esther. Yeah, Hadassah. That myrtle is the word Hadass. And so her name is Hadassah. And obviously they changed it to Esther, which is actually Persian. But we go to Esther 3:13. Same kind of situation that ended up happening. And both of them are in the... when Jerusalem was overthrown. It's interesting.
Okay.
And both had huge...
196.
Yeah, 495. Chapter 3, verse 13. Same situation where we had, if you know the story of Esther, Haman hated the Jews, and he's going to have... King Ahasuerus is really Cambyses, having him destroyed. 13. Then were sent letters by the hand of the runners into all the province of the king to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little ones and women, in one day on the 13th of the 12th month of the same is the month Adar. That's also called Puran. Puran is what the Jews celebrate every year. And to spoil them to be a prey. And so when you were supposed to be a spoil, the people who were going to spoil you became spoiled. And it reversed on them. And a copy to be delivered as an edict throughout every province was published to all the people that they should be ready against this day. So the Jews are going to be wiped out. And as we know, Hadassah, which we're going to see Esther in chapter 4, verse 15... according to the Persian king, if you came in unannounced, you were dead, unless he held out his golden scepter. And that's right above it in the first part of the chapter 4. So we're going to assume they know that. So Mordecai, her uncle, said, go talk to your husband. And she said, it'll kill me. If you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it, but you're going to die in the process. And so the same situation. Did you have the revelation on how to fix this? No. Daniel didn't have the revelation on how this is going to be fixed. He just went into action because he has a God that if you seek, you shall find. And so we have to go in with that same capacity. Enlighten me on these situations. So we're going to see in 15... Then Esther commanded to answer Mordecai, go gather you together all the Jews. So this is just to their best of understanding what to do. Get a prayer going. Supplicating. Go gather you all the Jews who are to be found in Susan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days was night or day until I and my maids will fast so, and in a manner will I go unto the king. though it is not according to the law, and when I have perished, I have perished. So this is not revelation. They're just doing it and hoping that Yahweh intercedes. So Mordecai departed and did according to all that Esther had charged him. Let's see here. Yeah. And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the house of the king, over against the house of the king. And the king was sitting upon his royal seat in the royal house, over against the opening of the house. And it came to pass, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his eyes, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter which was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. You know, so as you know, the story is, instead of the Jews being annihilated, the people who were against the Jews were annihilated, including Haman. And it was also Yahweh gave Cambyses of the king a dream at night, where he couldn't sleep, and went through the chronicles and found out that Mordecai actually saved his life from his servants. And it's all the timing that Yahweh's doing. So the point we're trying to get to is that when something like this happens, we have to get into those quiet places and have people around us get in those quiet places and expect the answers that we have to know. And so that's according to, you know, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, what we're told to do. We'll go there. For nothing be anxious, but in everything by your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions, that would be the petition, this is what Daniel did, this is what Mordecai did, this is what all the Jews did, this is what Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah did, their petition. Give, you know, whatever we need, this is what we need. And let your petitions be made unto Yahweh, and the peace of Yahweh, which rises above every mind, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Yahushua. So that's how we go with the Ruach HaKodesh that we have. One last place, we'll go to Matthew 7. So we have to go in expecting. So it's nice to have these relationships where we get quiet and we're in a moment of quiet each day where we can check in, tune in, and make sure we're on the right channel. More times we're tuning in on our television and we're tuning in on our phone, and we're going to completely tune out Yahweh. It's not part of our cycle for the day, and that's a bad mistake. So whenever you're making any kind of big decisions, marriage, you know, vacations, stuff to do with children, getting that quiet time where we're asking, which we're going to see here, we're asking the Father, enlighten me. I'm going to tune in and tell me what to do in these situations. And if the information does not come, then do what's best that you know of. Because maybe if you've already got that decision, then it's okay. I don't have to tell you, go ahead, what's your decision? Your decision to go, you know, and that could be, we've done that on vacations. You know, you're talking about maybe flying and you're in a different country. You know, here's what we'd like to do, and we're going to sleep on that, and if we're not supposed to do that, let us know. And so then you're waiting with your ears on. And we've had very successful things on that, you know, really supernatural things, where all of a sudden we're going on vacation and the swine flu is everywhere. Doesn't affect us one bit. We carry on. Another time, we went to a place where all of a sudden the COVID things were shut down, and the day we got into Puerto Rico, it was lifted. And when we picked that day, we had no idea. We picked it 6 months ahead of time. And it could have been everything shut down, but when we got there, that was the day that was lifted. Because when we picked the day, but Yahweh never said pick that day, but many times it could be that why we picked that day, because we have the Holy Spirit. And he told us that day, and we thought it was just a regular thought. So Matthew 7, verse 7. Be asking, and shall be given you. Be seeking, and you shall find. Be knocking, and shall be opened unto you. For whosoever asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, shall be opened. Or what man from among yourselves, whom his son shall ask for a loaf, a stone will give him? Or a fish also shall ask, a serpent will give him? If then ye, being evil, know how good gifts to be given unto your children, how much more will your Father, who is in the heavens, give good things to them that ask him? We got to claim that. You know, this is it. Here's your promise. I am asking, and you promise to give. And so I'm asking for that information. I'm going to hold you to that. Actually, George Mueller did that. So he had an orphanage. And, you know, it kept growing, growing over. And all of a sudden, no food, no money. And you got 100 kids out here ready to eat. Then he would lay out Yahweh's word, and you promise this, and I'm holding you to this promise. And so for your own mind, you have to remind Yahweh, but you have to remind yourself, I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be worried. I'm going to tell the kids to come up to the table, and we have no food. Everybody sit up. It's dinner time. And the cooks are like, we have no food. And then the doors would knock, and the food would come in.
You know, the manna would come.
Yeah, and it came. And so let's end on that note. So now we'll hear it one more time from our Father, a prophecy for the viewers. Father, we thank you for these words. Thank you, Yahushua Mashiach, our Lord and Savior, who not only died, but was tortured for us, and is now our mediator. Through you we come to Ab Adonai Yahweh. You are our mediator, our bridge, and so our tunnel. So we come through you, and thank you for these words, Father, for these individuals. Seek peace and seek my comfort, and let me embrace you each day and each moment, because you are my children who have been placed in this age and in this world with a purpose to instill and to affect the people around you. As I abide in you, you shall affect their lives by releasing the energy that I put inside you to be given to them, so they are drawn to that light and they come to me, all those who desire. Amen. See you next week.